I'd like to welcome you back to Salem Church. Good to see so many faces. We're going to worship the Lord, but not with just songs, but we worship as a connection to God. That's what makes the Welsh music so nice. Well, we have the road closed out there. It was promised that it would be finished on time, but there was a sinkhole on Route 49, two of them actually, and they had to pull a crews back, and so it wasn't finished. And then our scripture for today, it's from the passage in James, but James 2:17 is, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Let's go to prayer. Father God, we come before your throne. We use our words and our talents to bring glory to you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence in our midst. And may we be a blessing to you and a blessing to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, in your red pew Bibles, turn to Psalm 125. That's page 561. We'll read it together as the call to worship. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, we'll come together on the last. Talking about the security of God's people. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." "The scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands and do wrong." And together, "But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." It's the word of the Lord. For our first Welsh hymnal song, turn to number 6, Milwaukee. In your bulletin, you'll find the prayer of confession. We'll recite that together and then go into private prayer. Let's read it together. Lord, we confess that we pretend to know when in truth we still wonder. Forgive our pretenses that we may open ourselves to unexpected teachers, to fresh ideas, to one another, and to you. Vulnerable Christ, you who lived in generous love, we confess that we have closed ourselves off. We have seen so much suffering that we stop looking rather than see and respond to those in need. Forgive our neglect that we may care for one another and follow in the examples you set for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Please take a minute of silent confession. Talk to God, and if anything is a sin that you know, confess it as a sin in Jesus' name in this moment of silence. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Our God always fulfills his promises and is true to his word. If we've confessed our sins in his son's name, they are forgiven because Christ paid the price for our sins. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven. Alleluia and amen. Well, we have a few announcements for today. As you all know, we've got a supper to be served at 4 p.m. If you're bringing a dish, have it here before 3. And we welcome Eric Foster as our new director, Bonnie Bolden, Connie O'Neill, and Sheila Collins, and Jake Wilder as our solos. Mealtime is at 4 o'clock. The service of song begins at 7 p.m. I want to let you know that there are brass ornaments commemorative of the occasion of our 100th Gamafagani for sale. And the Children and Adult Sunday School will begin September 20th, as usual. Women's Association will hold a meeting Thursday, September 17th, and our senior luncheons are back. They'll start Wednesday, September 23rd at noon at Lions Club. And just have two announcements. John Smith, he had a house fire. His house was a total loss. Be in prayers about him. If you've got extra clothing or furniture or anything that you think that he might like, feel free to contact him or his relatives. And then we have condolences to the family of Betsy Young Peter. She's from Spencerville. She was 55 years old, had a heart attack. But of note is her brother died 3 weeks ago. So there's a lot of grief in that family. Lift them up. Are there any other announcements or prayers that we should know about? All right, let's go to prayer. Father God, as followers of Christ, we are worried about what we hear in the world. We hear about the police being attacked. We hear about people with cancer, hear about house fires. Lord, we hear about crop prices declining. We worry about all this rain. And Lord, we worry about our political climate. So Father, we lift up to you the cares of this world. We leave them at the door because you are in control. And Father God, as followers of Christ, hear us as we intercede and pray for the others in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. First, we ask for blessings upon our church, its activities such as the Gamafagani and the meal today, that hearts are changed during those events, that they'll bring glory to you. And Lord, comfort and answer the needs of all those who are in trouble, sickness, pain, and grief, especially known to us that we'll name in a minute, and those in the quietness of our thoughts. We lift up to you Norma, Brendan, Ralph, Aiden, Natalie, Hope, Eric, Bev, Melanie, Jesse, Betty, Eileen, James, Nicholas, Evelyn, Marjorie, Mike, Dave, John, Thad, Tim, Steve, Noah, and John. And Lord, we thank you to be with them in their times of need. And we lift up to you the family of Betsy Young Peter. With a double death in the family, we thank you, Lord, to comfort them and be with them, and that they see your presence, that you are working in mysterious ways, that there will be good that will come of that. And Lord, we pray for those in the military, police, and fire services, that you protect them and comfort them and give them wisdom doing their duties. We lift up to you Micah, Corey, Pete, and Will, who are from our community. And Lord, we pray for our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court, our state and local governments. Lord, we thank you for your blessings to be upon them. And Lord, we thank you that if there's anything hidden in darkness, that it will be exposed to the light of day, that there'll be healing, and that men of courage will speak the truth of God to the nation, our state and local governments. And Lord, we pray that all the nations of the world would come as a repentance to Christ. We pray especially for the work of missionaries in Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Israel, Pakistan, North Korea, Syria, Egypt, Nigeria, and others that need to know you. Have your gospel message sweep through those countries. And Lord, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in the church across this world. Empower them in service to Christ. Lead them to know and experience your will for their lives. We pray especially for protection of those in Nigeria, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan who are in harm's way. And Lord, please grant to all those who trust in you that they'll become good and faithful disciples. We lift these prayers up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now's the time for the special music of Maggie Morris Lopez as director. What a blessing. Maybe the people who aren't in the choir should come up and do with that. All right. For our scripture reading for today, we're in year B of the lectionary, and we will be turning to Mark 7, 24 through 37. In your pew Bibles, that's page 917. I will read it to you. Talking about the faith of a woman. Verse 24, from there he, Jesus, set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she went and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, Syrophoenician of origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children, or Israel, be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for saying that, you may go. The demon has fled your daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Jesus curses a deaf man. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers to his ears. And then he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he signed and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be open. And immediately his ears were open and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Now let us turn to James 2, 1 through 17, our passage for our sermon today, page 1100. Warning against partiality, chapter 2 of James. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothing comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while the other one who is poor, you say, stand there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in this world to become rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is it out?
Are you awake now?
All right, test, test. Test? All right, is it coming back? All right, great. Thank you, Andrew and Christina. I'll start at verse 8. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for it all. The one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Faith without works is dead, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother and sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. All right. Are there any children here that would like to come forward for the time for children? All right. Please come forward. All right. We're waiting for Sandy to come in. Do you see Sandy? There she is. Hi, Sandy. And girls, they were talking about a country called Wales. A lot of the people that are here are from there, and some of us have a drop of Welsh blood in us, and some of us are part of the Welsh family. And we're going to praise God the way that they used to praise God, but let's pray to God ourselves. Let's hold our hands together. Okay. All right, hold our hands. Okay, hold the hand next to you. Okay, hold the hand next to you. Father God, we thank you that these little ones have Jesus in their heart. And Lord, that they could have your joy, that they could grow up with a clean life and avoid all the poor choices that so many people make. And Lord, we thank you to guide them with your Holy Spirit and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. Please be seated. For our sermon today, we'll talk about James 2, 1 through 17, Christ's new world order. But first, let's go to prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's an ancient legend among the Jews, that while the Israelites were traveling through the desert and they knew about God, they decided to invite God to a dinner. But then Moses sat down with them and said, "Don't you understand that God is spirit, that he can't eat, that he is something that is invisible to most people?" But when Moses went up to the mountain, he kind of laughed about this with God and said, "Hey, they wanted to invite you to dinner." But God says, "Well, I'll take him up on it." And Moses was a little bit puzzled. So he went down to the tribes, and they decided to make the best meal that they ever had for him to visit them the next day. They were working on it all day, and as they're working on it, an old man with rags and dirty and didn't speak right showed up and asked for food. And they said, "Well, we don't have time for you. Come back some other time." Well, they had that meal prepared for God to come down and be in their midst, but nobody arrived. And so they were puzzled by that. The next day, Moses went back up on the mountain and said, "Hey, we were expecting you for that meal, but you didn't arrive." And God said, "I was there. If you would have fed that homeless, dirty, foul-smelling man, you would have fed me." Well, God tells us that he cares about the poor, the rejects in society, the outcasts. My first point is that the teachings of Jesus clash with this world with how we treat the poor and the outcast. The evangelist Jim Wallace, he has an interesting twist on how he approaches this. He asks the question many times during his talks. He says, what is the most famous biblical text in America about the poor? Of course, he gets about the same answer each time, where Jesus says, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Well, in the context, Jim Wallace says that Jesus was talking to his disciples. And talking to his disciples, his understanding was that they would always be ministering to the poor. He assumed that his followers would be continually connected with the poor to serve them. That's why they would always be around them. But oh, if that were true. You always hear about the man who came to church dressed in smelly rags and with a foreign accent and was ignored by the congregation. Then the following week, he comes back speaking articulate English, and he has fine clothing on. He's treated like royalty. Our lesson in James is from the idea that God wants everybody to be treated the same. God values all people, not just the beautiful, not just the well-dressed, and those adored by society. Well, many times I go on the community, I want to invite people into our church, and I hear from them, well, we won't fit in with that crowd. They're different from us. And I talk about, that's not so. Or they say, I don't have church clothes. I can't dress up to look like them. I said, no, it's not like it used to be. You could come as you are and you'll be loved. And I emphasize that point, that this is the house of the Lord. If you feel judged, that person who's judging you is not living their faith the proper way. So I don't take any excuses. Paul says in verse 5, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? Well, one thing that could be said about all this is the mark of a follower of Jesus Christ is to be kind and compassionate to all people, regardless of their station in life. My second point is that Christ's kingdom ideals put the highest value on items such as faith, honor, compassion, sacrifice, service, and eternal life. Those things are not practiced by the culture, but they are practiced inside the church. As a matter of fact, the first century church, as it was getting started, the Emperor Hadrian asked a journalist to go out and mix in with the church people and see what they're all about and find out what Christians are. And he came back with this report, which I'll read to you. They love one another. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to the man who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home, and they're happy, as though he were a real brother. They don't consider themselves brothers in the usual sense, but brothers instead through the Spirit and God. Well, that tells us a lot how the church may have wandered from how the first century church thought of themselves among those that probably knew Jesus when he was alive. Mother Teresa in the spirit was told a story many times about walking the streets of Calcutta, seeing somebody in a ditch that she thought, well, maybe that's not a person. So she decided to go down and look quite hard at the person and realized that if that was a person, he was quite emaciated and he was covered with worms. Well, she took him to the Center for Dying People in India, where her mission field was, and it took the nurses 3 hours to take the worms off this gentleman. They gave him a bath, and then they showed him love without strings attached. Well, that man died, but he died with dignity, knowing that he was loved by somebody in this world. But as he was lying there dying, he looked up at Mother Teresa and said these words, I came here as an animal. I leave in death as an angel. Well, sometimes our faith takes us into homes that don't smell like ours. Sometimes we, through our faith and following the Holy Spirit, meet people whose morals are not like ours. It can confront us with situations that defy solutions. And sometimes we just have to love people and listen to them and say, yes, yeah, I will pray for you because I don't know what to do. But at least you were there with that person. Well, faith without action is dead. A vibrant, living faith produces healthy fruit. Another explanation that farmers might understand about this and how it all comes together is from James Bender. He wrote a book, How to Talk Well, and it was about award-winning corn. Each year, this one farmer, he won the blue ribbon for his corn that he grew. And a newspaper reporter decided to find out, what's the secret behind this? He said, how can you afford to give this secret away? He says, well, it's really no secret. What I do is I give my corn away to my neighbors that they may have good corn. And then he added these words, well, don't you know, said the farmer, the wind picks up the pollen from the ripening corn all around my field and swirls it from field to field. If my neighbors have inferior corn, cross-pollination would steadily degrade the quality of my own corn. And if I am to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors also grow good corn. In other words, as you help others, you make the world a better place. So it is with our lives. If we're looking for peace, we must bring peace to our own homes and to our workplaces. If we're looking for friends because we're lonely, we need to be friendly to everyone. And if we're looking for prosperity and well-being, we must help others achieve it as well. Our personal welfare is bound up with the welfare of all those around us. We notice that with our communities. My next point is that the ground is level at the foot of the cross for everyone. Are you concerned about the poor as much as Christ is concerned? Jesus told us several stories about the end times and about the poor. There was the story about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man walked by the hungry Lazarus every day and did nothing to help his poverty or his hunger. The rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to heaven. Then there's Matthew 25, where the king is separating the sheep from the goats. The criteria used for judging one's life and fitness for eternal life with God is whether one has responded compassionately to the poor. The poor matter to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus told a story about the rich young ruler who had kept all the commandments. He did everything that he thought that he should be doing, but Jesus told him to sell all he had and give the proceeds to the poor and then be ready to follow him. He couldn't do it, and he probably lost his salvation. So in essence, our abundance and other people's needs and following Jesus Christ, they're intertwined. You can't separate them. We will all come before the foot of the cross, but we want to empty ourselves of that. Now, what does all that mean? We have to empty ourselves to come into the presence of God. We can't come full of our pride, full of our ego, full of our self-importance. We can't come before the cross full of prejudices, excluding other people. You can't come before the cross full of hate. You can't come full of anger at your brother or your sister or your boss or spouse or your children. You can't come full of answers as if you know life already and that you don't need any help. You can't come full of judgment against the right or the left, the rich, the poor, young, the old, or whatever. You have to come empty before the cross. If you're full, there's no room for God's grace, love, and forgiveness when you come to the cross. You have to come empty so that you can leave filled with the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that if you do come empty, you will be filled. Well, to pull that story together about how Jesus connected with people talking about poverty, I'll tell you another story. It was about a prosperous downtown church in London. It had three missionary churches that had started in the slums. They reached out to people who were thieves, burglars, drug addicts, alcoholics, and you name it. And many of them came to Christ and started attending those churches. On one occasion, right after the new year, they decided to have all the churches gathered together in the larger home church, and that it was from a wealthy neighborhood, and that they would all kneel down together and do communion. The pastor up on top looked down, and he saw, as they did knelting down together, that there was a burglar that was sentenced to 7 years next to the judge that had sentenced him 8 years before. But this particular burglar became a Christian. He changed his ways. And he thought, well, they're not responding to each other. I guess they probably don't know that they're next to each other like that. But after the service, the judge got together with the pastor, and they're walking down the street together, and they struck up a conversation. And the judge said, did you notice I was kneeling next to the burglar that I sent to jail for 7 years? And the pastor says, yes, I did notice that, but I didn't know that you knew that at the time. And then the judge says, what a miracle of grace. And the pastor responded to that comment saying, what a miracle of grace as well. But then the judge realized that there was something not right about that answer. And he says, but whom do you refer? And the pastor said, well, to the conversion of that convict, of course. Then the judge says, no, I wasn't referring to him. I was thinking about myself. The pastor was surprised and said, you were thinking about yourself? I don't understand. Well, the judge explained, it costs nothing for that burglar to get converted after he came out of jail. He had nothing. He didn't have a future. All he had was a past of crime behind him and probably a future of crime. He saw when he knew about Jesus Christ that he could have a future life of salvation, hope, and joy in him. He knew how much he needed that help, and he turned to Jesus Christ as a Savior. But the judge says, but look at me. I was taught from the earliest days to live as a gentleman, that my word was my bond, and to say my prayers, and to take communion, and be in church, and so on. Then I eventually went through Oxford University, the top university in England, took my degrees, and I was called to the bar and became a judge, and people talked to me with honor as the judge. Then he said, Pastor, nothing but the grace of God could cause me to admit that I was a sinner on a level the same as that burglar. It took so much more grace for God to forgive me, my pride, my self-deception, and to get me to admit I was no better in the eyes of God than that convict I had sent to prison. Well, the judge understood completely the whole idea, what it means to empty ourselves and to leave our burdens at the cross. We're all the same before God. We bring our burdens to Him. Nobody is better than anybody else. Well, we talked about the teachings of Jesus clash with this world, that Jesus is creating a new world order with a different set of values, and that we need to daily read our Bible and tune into what those values are because we forget them. We know that all people deserve our respect. The Christian virtue of welcoming others allows us to welcome Jesus Christ into our lives and into our homes. And that Christians are known for their service and their love that goes beyond what the world would do. And finally, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The message of Jesus tells us that we must never think that we are above others or better than others. We're all brothers and sisters, members of the same Christian community. Now, I told you a lot, and that would be nice, but I want you to apply it to your life this week. Do something great with your life this week and what your faith is that you've learned. Well, I want you to begin by engaging each person you meet this week as though that person is a millionaire or somebody famous or somebody you want to know or somebody that you esteem. Think of every person. Think of the new strangers tonight that come to the Gamafagani. Approach them. Think of them as millionaires, somebody above you, somebody that you want to know and invest yourself in, or perhaps the mail person or the grocery clerk, the janitor, the waiter at the restaurant, or the rebellious teenager who's got the spiked hair, colored hair, and the tattoos all over them. Practice your loving Christ when you engage in conversation with those around you. Recognize that our spiritual maturity begins with the realization that we're all imperfect before Christ, that we're all the same, that God loves everyone. Now, I used a certain motto, but it's true. Don't change yourself. Come as you are. You'll be loved. But he means by come as you are, you'll be loved in church. So let's be those loving, accepted people that they expect to find in a church. Let's go to prayer. Lord, help us be willing to really change ourselves and to totally live out our faith and not be hearers only. Help us to live a life worthy of our calling as we have been called by you to be your ambassadors into this world that has other values than what a Christian would call to live by. Help us to always be humble and open to your word. Help us to be patient with each other, allowing for each other's faults because of your love. Help us to stand approved by you on the day of judgment, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, after Pentecost, we've been reciting a shorter prayer. It's found in your bulletin, the Spirit of the Loving God. Let's pray this from our heart. We'll recite it together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the loving God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. In Jesus' name we pray. Please stand for the Apostles' Creed. We'll recite it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. Let us turn to the Lord, those things that are gifts of our lives and gifts of our possessions. Will the ushers please come forward? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love of us, that you've provided for our every need. Out of gratitude, we give you 1/10 of our income as tithes, and we give you our offerings. May we use them wisely to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a moment afterwards, we want to invite you over to a reception on the side there. And if you need to go, perhaps if you could leave out through this door right here, it might be best for the flow of people. And as we talked about things, we'd like to say that let's put our faith into action with the challenge I gave you. Go with the love of the Father, love of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to do Christ's work here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now you understand what I'm going to tell you. I'm proud of the privilege to sing with this fine group of alumni. I watched most of them grow up. And I want to thank Maggie. She was a little girl when I first met her. And I want to thank her for directing. I want to thank Michaela, Kathy, for inviting me to come and join this group. And I want to thank all of you for helping sing Calum Lawn. It was difficult, but it was very good. And would you please put your hands together and give them another round of applause?